Okay, so welcome to Deep Research. You know the drill by now.
Yeah, we love diving in.
This time, what you sent us was particularly interesting, a leaked onboarding document from the world of Mr. Beast.
The beast.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Mr. Beast, along with some analysis of what it all means.
Exactly.
And so what we're going to do for you today is to pull out some of the key insights and try to understand what makes that YouTube engine tick.
The viral engine.
Yeah, what's the fuel?
Yeah.
And most importantly, how you can use some of these same principles for yourself, whether you're focused on social media, building a business, or something else entirely.
Well, it's pretty remarkable, isn't it? I mean, the
Yeah.
document itself is laser focused on creating the best YouTube videos possible. Those are actually the words they use right at the beginning. But what's so fascinating is how much of the strategy and the underlying philosophy in this document can be applied elsewhere in different contexts.
Right.
So the really rare look
Yeah.
inside a hyper successful operation that's completely geared towards grabbing and holding attention.
Right. It's not about some abstract idea of quality or entertainment, in a general sense.
Right.
It's about what performs best on YouTube.
Yeah.
So let's dive into this idea of making the best YouTube videos possible.
Yeah.
What's the core principle we can extract from that for our own goals?
I think what we can connect to this in the bigger picture is that it's about this absolute unwavering focus on the primary objective tailored to the environment that you're working in and the audience that you're trying to reach.
Okay.
So, Mr. Beast on YouTube, undeniable. It's about getting massive viewership. It's about engagement. It's about virality.
Right.
So, best YouTube videos possible is shorthand for content that is engineered to maximize those key metrics on YouTube, like click-through rate, average view, duration, average view percentage.
Right. So for you, maybe you're on TikTok. The
Right.
equivalent of best TikToks possible might mean consistently sparking trends or user-generated content.
Ah.
If you're building a SaaS product, maybe it's providing the best solution for the customer, meaning a product that solves their problems effectively and keeps them coming back.
Exactly.
It's about finding that North Star metric for your specific field.
That North Star metric.
Right.
And the document actually immediately addresses the kind of team you need to hit that North Star
Okay.
with what's he called their A, B, and C player framework. What parts of that framework really stood out to you in terms of being relevant outside of just YouTube?
Oh, the sheer clarity and directness of it. A players are described as these incredibly driven individuals, obsessed with the mission, constantly learning from mistakes, highly coachable, intelligent, taking ownership, completely bought into the platform, in this case, YouTube,
Right.
understanding the company's value and simply the best at their specific role. B players are those on the path to becoming A players through development. But C players, they're labeled as poisonous, and they really advocate for their removal from the company with severance.
Wow.
It's a very high-performance culture.
It is an intense culture, for sure. But I think it forces us to ask that question.
Yeah.
What are the must-have qualities for success in your team or in your organization? And, they really focus on this idea of learning as the key differentiator.
Right.
A players are in a state of perpetual growth.
Yeah.
And I think that's a principle that applies regardless of the industry.
Right. It doesn't matter if you're in a fast-paced tech startup or a traditional marketing agency or leading a volunteer organization,
Yeah.
that drive for improvement is essential.
Absolutely. And I think this principle of identifying and addressing those negative influences, those C players, as they call them, well, I think the label is maybe a little bit strong. The idea behind that is something that any leader will recognize.
Absolutely. It prompts you to think about who on your own team truly embodies that A player mindset, those constant learners,
Yeah.
the problem solvers, the people that elevate everyone around
The
them.
people that bring everybody up.
Right.
Okay, so the document moves into this idea of understanding virality. And this is where those specific YouTube metrics really come into play.
Right.
So let's start with click-through rate CTR.
Yeah.
How do they define it? And what's the takeaway there for someone who maybe isn't, directly tied to YouTube views?
So CTR, in the simplest terms, is the percentage of people who see your video thumbnail and title mm-hmm. and decide to click on it.
Right.
And they give a great example here. I spent 50 hours in my front yard.
Yeah.
Versus I spent 50 hours in ketchup.
Right.
Same amount of effort, but the ketchup concept is just way more attention grabbing.
Yeah.
More unexpected.
Way more unexpected.
And so the takeaway for you, regardless of your platform, is the immense power of your initial presentation,
mm-hmm.
your headlines, your subject lines, your opening visuals on social media.
Right.
Even the first few seconds of a presentation, it's about making that initial hook irresistible.
Yeah. Think about your social media feed.
Yeah.
You know, a bland status update versus a surprising statistic or a bold question
mm-hmm.
can be the difference between somebody scrolling past and somebody actually stopping to engage.
Yeah.
And I think that ketchup example really highlights this idea that you need to exceed the expectations set by that initial glimpse.
Right.
It's about creating those narratives right from the first touch point.
And that leads us nicely to average view duration.
AVD.
AVD. And this is where YouTube gets granular with those viewer retention graphs. What were the most applicable insights that you got from their approach to AVD?
I think what's so insightful about the graphs is that it provides this visual representation of audience attention.
Mm-hmm.
So a flat line all the way through a video is obviously ideal.
Right.
Complaint engagement.
Right.
A gradual downward slope is probably more typical as viewers naturally drop off.
Yeah.
Spikes indicate high points of interest, maybe yeah. a reveal or a really engaging segment that people rewatch.
Right.
And then those sudden dips are where people are just like, nope, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And they even outline a sort of ideal structure for their videos that emphasizes the first minute being absolutely critical
yeah.
to hooking the audience and then placing these little re-engagement moments every few minutes to recapture attention.
So it's like a science of holding attention.
It really is. They even break it down into time frames.
Wow.
The first 1 to 3 minutes moving from that initial hype to the core content.
Right.
Minutes 3 to 6 focusing on keeping things exciting and easy to digest.
Okay.
And then really trying to re-engage the audience around the 6 minute mark.
I see. So even if you're not creating videos, these principles of pacing, structuring information, and strategically injecting these high points.
Right.
Are so relevant.
They are.
You know, think about structuring a sales pitch or a team meeting or even the rollout of a new project. You need to grab attention early and keep people invested throughout.
Absolutely. Think about a presentation.
Yeah.
A strong opening grabs attention. That's kind of your CTR equivalent.
Yeah.
Clear, concise, engaging content throughout keeps them with you.
Yep.
That's your high AVD.
High AVD.
And then strategically placed takeaways or interactive elements.
Right.
Kind of create those spikes of re-engagement that we saw in the graphs.
Right.
So I think understanding those patterns, the flat lines, the declines, the spikes and the dips.
Yeah.
Is a really good framework for looking at how your audience is interacting with your content, no matter what that content is.
Right. Are they sticking with you? Where are they losing interest? What are the moments that are really resonating?
Exactly.
Okay. Then we have average view percentage, AVP, which the document kind of positions as more of an outcome metric tied to overall engagement and video length strategy.
Right.
But then they introduce this idea of the wow factor.
A wow factor.
Something that might not directly impact those metrics in a measurable way.
Yeah.
But it has this huge intangible impact.
It really does. Tell me about that.
Okay. So the wow factor is that unique, often unexpected, highly memorable element that sets content or brand apart. And their example is bringing in a house on a crane for their 100 days in a circle video.
House, the crane, the whole thing.
It might not have directly increased click-through rates or average view duration in that moment.
Right.
But it created this spectacle, something that people would talk about and remember and associate with the Mr. Beast brand.
Yeah, it's that what did I just see moment.
Right.
You know, it builds a sense of scale and ambition that you just can't forget.
So how can you translate that idea of a wow factor if you're not dropping houses from the sky?
I think it's about identifying and investing in those distinctive, unforgettable elements that really differentiate you.
Okay.
It could be an exceptional level of customer service, a truly innovative product feature, a marketing campaign that pushes the boundaries, or a company culture that's truly unique and special. It's about creating those water cooler moments, those things that make people say, you have got to see this, you've got to experience this. And it might not lead to an immediate measurable ROI, but that wow factor builds brand affinity and generates buzz, which is so valuable in the long term.
Right. What's that unexpected element that can make you stand out
Yeah, what is it?
in a really crowded field?
I like that.
So the document also gets into kind of the nitty-gritty of production and talks about the crucial role of process and communication. So what are the key principles that you saw there that apply to effective teamwork?
Well, I think the first thing is they really emphasize understanding that entire workflow.
Okay.
And proactively identifying any potential bottlenecks. And that's something that we can all apply.
Right.
No matter what we're doing.
Right.
And the example they give is the production coordinator needing creative input.
Mm.
And actually saying, Tyler, you are my bottleneck.
Wow.
Is a masterclass in clear, direct communication.
Yeah.
And taking ownership of deadlines.
It's about moving beyond just assigning tasks and actively managing the interconnectedness of everything.
Absolutely. And then there's this concept of critical components.
Yeah.
These are essential elements without which the whole project collapses.
Mm.
The example they give is securing an island for a shoot.
Oh, yeah.
But how does that translate to other types of projects?
Well, every significant undertaking has its critical components.
Right.
It might be securing key funding, finalizing a partnership, obtaining a permit, making sure a vital piece of equipment is available.
Right.
And their advice is to treat these components like your baby.
Like your baby.
Obsess over them.
Yeah.
Create contingency plans, escalate any potential issues immediately.
Be on top of it.
And that highlights the level of vigilance and proactive risk management that's required
right.
for success.
For sure.
And then their communication hierarchy, which feels so basic, in person,
yeah.
phone call, text, email.
Right.
But it's a powerful reminder to choose the most effective method.
Absolutely.
For the message's complexity and urgency.
And I love their rule. That written communication isn't complete until it's confirmed, read.
Right.
That's brilliant.
It ensures clarity and accountability.
It really does. It means yep. that communication is about understanding, not just transmitting.
Right.
And being intentional about your method of communication can really save a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And prevent a lot of misunderstanding in any team.
Totally.
And they advocate for this video everything approach.
Yeah.
Particularly for visual elements.
Right.
And that just shows you the power of shared context and documentation,
mm-hmm.
which is relevant everywhere.
Right.
Not just video.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to the strategic mindset that's revealed in this document.
Okay.
There are some really interesting points about approaching challenges. This principle of, say, the negatives. Why is that such a crucial element of a successful strategy?
Well, I think it's about fostering a culture of honest assessment.
Right.
And proactive problem solving.
Yeah.
So instead of just focusing on what's going well, identifying potential weaknesses, risks, negative scenarios.
Yeah.
Allows for more realistic planning and the development of mitigation strategies.
And they give a great example of finding a booked over budget and potentially haunted castle.
Oh, yeah.
Really illustrating the importance of surfacing those negative realities.
Yeah, early in the process.
Early in the process, right?
Yeah.
It's about moving beyond just optimism and embracing a degree of healthy skepticism to plan better.
Right. And then they have this, it's your fault, track the contractor mentality.
Oh, yeah. What's that about?
Well, I think it's a powerful message about accountability.
Right.
You can't just delegate a task.
Right.
And then wash your hands of it if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
You have to take ownership.
And they have this example of the water balloon stand.
Oh, yeah.
With the emphasis on proactive monitoring, setting deadlines, having backup plans.
Right.
It really does highlight the level of ownership required for effective vendor management and ensuring those project milestones are met. And this point that I'm not always right.
Right.
That humility from a leader.
Yeah.
Combined with the expectation that team members provide information and research options speaks volumes.
It really does.
About fostering a really collaborative environment.
It encourages this culture of intellectual honesty.
Yeah.
And empowers the people on the team to contribute.
Right.
And the car giveaway example really illustrates the difference.
Yeah.
Between just a vague directive.
Right.
And a properly researched proposal.
Right.
That shows initiative.
Yeah.
And thoroughness.
And then they give some really practical, almost counterintuitive advice.
Like what?
Creativity saves money.
Right.
You know, they give this example of a year's supply of Doritos versus a $20,000 prize.
Yeah.
And the wisdom of always having a backup day in your planning.
Always have that backup.
Right.
Yeah. I like that.
Thinking outside the box and exploring unconventional solutions. can lead to much more innovative and cost-effective outcomes
than just throwing money at a problem.
Right. And having a buffer in your timeline,
right,
especially for high-stakes events or critical deadlines, provides a crucial safety net for those unforeseen issues.
Absolutely.
And then the constant reminder to not take anything at face value.
Yeah.
Always dig.
Always dig.
That feels particularly relevant in today's world of, you know, readily available but not always accurate information.
That's right. It underscores that need for verification, critical thinking, due diligence, especially when you're dealing with external parties or relying on information from various sources.
Right. And the 10,000 pillows example is a great illustration.
That's a good one.
To look beyond those initial promises and actually verify the details.
Absolutely. And I like that advice about external negotiations, that no doesn't always mean no.
Right.
It's about persistence, exploring different angles, and not taking that first obstacle as the final word.
Right.
Okay. And then finally, they have this advice to work on multiple videos every day, which I think speaks to effective workflow management.
Right.
And preventing those bottlenecks.
In a content-driven world.
Exactly. It's about maintaining that momentum.
Right.
And ensuring a consistent output.
Yeah.
Especially for creative endeavors.
And then they give us this 1 out of 10, good 10 out of 10 bad rating system.
Right.
Just this quick way to assess performance.
It is subjective, but it's a fast benchmark.
Yeah.
For evaluating performance and working out where you can improve.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's shift to understanding the content and audience itself.
Right.
Which is obviously paramount to Mr. Beast's success.
Yeah.
And their core philosophy is stated as, to excite me.
To excite me.
What's the power in that?
I think it comes from a place of genuine passion and authenticity.
Hmm.
The belief is that if the content excites Mr. Beast himself, that enthusiasm will be contagious and resonate with the audience.
Right.
And it's about understanding your target audience and their motivations.
Right. What engages them?
What sparks their interest?
What makes them want to share it? And they say that the potential for good content is limitless.
Limitless.
But they also highlight the need for structure and simplicity.
Right.
To effectively reach a broad audience.
It's about keeping things accessible.
Right.
And then it brings us back to AVD and AVP as indicators of success for content that's already out there.
They give a side-by-side comparison of two video retention graphs, one with 120 million views.
Wow.
And another with 45 million, despite being similar lengths.
Right.
And it's a real illustration of the impact of watch time on overall success.
Yeah. People watch the more engaging video for longer.
And that really shows you how audience behavior informs the algorithm and ultimately the reach of your content.
100%.
And then they talk about the effectiveness of specific video formats.
Like what?
Like last to leave or stair-stepping to maximize retention by creating clear payoffs and increasing the stakes for the viewers.
These formats keep people watching.
Right. Yeah.
It's built in.
Yeah. And then they give us some insights into the Mr. Beast audience itself, which is broad.
It is broad.
But they say the core is teenage viewers interested in memes and video games,
right?
Significant female demographic, and a global reach concentrated in the US and Europe.
Makes sense.
And that deep understanding of the audience really seems foundational to their strategy.
For sure. Knowing your audience inside and out informs everything you do.
Right. From content to strategy.
That's right.
And they say that brand deals are content.
Brand deals are content.
And they emphasize integrating sponsorships in an entertaining and organic way.
Yeah.
Rather than just disruptive advertisements.
And they show how well integrated deals can actually improve retention.
Right. That's a real paradigm shift.
It is.
Treating those partnerships as opportunities to make better content, not just interruptions.
Right.
And then this concept of information diet, being mindful of the content you consume to fuel your own creativity.
Yeah.
And they give this example of Chris Tyson being inspired by cartoons.
I like that.
It really highlights the importance of curating your information intake to align with your creative goals.
It's about staying inspired by the kinds of content that your audience enjoys.
And then there's this emphasis on allowing talent to be authentic and contribute their own ideas.
Right.
Avoiding forced performances, creating comfortable on-set environments.
Creating that safe space to be creative.
And then some really practical advice to develop backup content for those riskier ideas.
Right.
And to solicit feedback from multiple perspectives to refine content.
It's about fostering a collaborative and genuine process while mitigating risks and ensuring quality.
And they even mention ending videos abruptly to maintain that retention rate.
Every second is valuable when it comes to keeping people watching.
So as we conclude this deep dive into this Mr. Beast onboarding document, what are the overarching principles that resonate?
That resonate beyond YouTube.
Beyond YouTube.
Okay, well, I think first that unwavering focus on a really clearly defined core objective.
Right, the importance of building a high-performing team.
Yeah, the A player team, a culture of constant learning.
Right.
And then a deep and data-informed understanding of audience engagement.
Right.
And the strategies required to keep people's attention.
Absolutely. We also see the value of meticulous planning and communication.
Yep.
And that proactive problem-solving mindset.
Yes.
And finally, this ongoing commitment to innovation.
Yeah.
A constant improvement.
Always be improving.
Right. So while this document gives us a glimpse into a unique creator.
Right.
The principles it reveals offer valuable lessons for anyone looking to thrive.
For anyone.
In the digital landscape.
Yeah.
Build a strong team or achieve ambitious goals in any field.
I think so.
So for you, our listener, as you process all this, what are the one or two key insights that you can put into practice?
Right.
And maybe more importantly, how might a more intense, maybe even obsessive focus on your core objectives, combined with this rigorous approach to audience engagement, yield some really surprising results?
I think that's worth thinking about.
Maybe it's time to look closer at how you're capturing and keeping attention or defining that A player mentality within your own sphere of influence.
Right.
Regardless of your industry.
Regardless of your industry.
Thanks for diving deep with us.